When sleeping on the bed, do these evil spirits attack only Jews, or do they attack Goyim as well? So you get a real careful analysis of all possibilities here, right? And this is his conclusion. Ul'inyan halakha, nira laniyat ta'ati, she'im ein hefseid l'ruba. If there is no great loss in throwing out the food, yesh lahachmir lachush l'divei hagla. One should be machmir and worry about the Vilna Gaon's position, u'kumosha katav, and then he has a whole slew of people who prohibit the food v'diyavad. She'kulam choshishim v'ze'af v'diyavad l'lachra'a, because all of them are worried about evil spirits. Ulam v'hefseid l'ruba, when there is a great loss attached, and then he lists a whole series of authorities who say even though evil spirits exist and this is a danger, nevertheless after the fact you don't have to worry about it. We can rely on the Rambam's opinion that the evil spirits have become a vanished species, that there are none of them around nowadays. With the addition of the opinion of all of the other achronim, shemakilim b'zeh b'diyavad. U'mikol makom, k'she'ein hefseid m'ruba, if one is not involved in a large loss here, yesh lahachmir. And then he actually gives advice, he says, since the washing of the hands in the morning three times chases away the evil spirits, then the least you should do, if possible, if you put some apples under the bed or something, that you should wash them three times to remove the evil spirits.
This is
what we've come to in the last 20 or 30 years. I mean, would you believe something like this?
But if it's my stereotype of Sparty, is that they still do maintain these superstitious traditions.
This is not basing himself on the Sfaradim. He's basing himself on a straight Ashkenazic tradition and Sfaradim. In fact, on this matter, the Sfaradim are more likely to be Makil than the Ashkenazim. But I'm just simply saying that here you have a situation that the leading rabbinical authority is taking today, active, is taking a position which simply maintains, 800 years or however many years after the Rambam, who says this is all nonsense, and I would imagine that most of the civilized world would agree that it's all nonsense, takes the position of deciding issues on the basis of a majority rule of rabbis as to whether demons do or do not exist.
What is
the
hurry?
I have to remember,
who knows, is there something there?
Be
a little careful, please.
Okay. So where
has the
nature changed? I don't understand.
The nature has
more demons now?
Less. Nature has changed according to his interpretation of the Rambam because the demons have disappeared.
According to the others, there's more around now.
Well, I don't know if they're more around or less around, but it's a sad, sad situation. And to give equal time to respected American scholars, I cite here from Rabbi Chevelle's comment on the Ramban, where the Ramban goes into a lengthy explanation about the constitution of demons from two out of the four spirits, and Rabbi Chevelle acknowledges that this is contrary to current scientific conceptions, but that scientists today have moved to other theories to explain the universe and the various phenomena of life has no bearing on explanations which were accepted in the past. For who can foretell what knowledge reduces the established truths of today? So maybe a few hundred years from now we'll come back and really believe in demons.
At first, that's something to me yet, but on closer examination, maybe he merely means don't look down on them. In other words, just as our beliefs now will change in the future for the better, not to go back, but will really change as we learn more. Similarly,
you want to read the whole passage? I did not quote him incorrectly or out of context.
Oh, it's he really did that.
Okay. So, all right. Let's go on. So I think this is a forerunner of various other things. All right. Let me.
But by the same token, I mean, it's the science of science. It's clear that in the minds of a large percentage of the populace, there is still strong superstition and.
You know, that's so what I mean. You have professors at the Harvard Medical right. School attesting to sex,
alien
extragalactic creatures.
Right.
And one right. doesn't. This is the postmodern age. Yeah. I think that's why they put me onto this topic of postmodernism.
I heard today you drag alternative medicine, even the National Institute of Health as an alternative medicine.
Okay, let's turn to alternative medicine. Let me just show you. Let me give another illustration, which to my mind just shows the complete craziness to which things have gotten. This is a subject that we studied in detail a couple of years ago, and that's the issue of mestizo. So now let me remind you briefly of what we studied, and then let me bring you up to date, because I was unaware of what the postmodern view on this subject is. So I remind you, first of all, there was an excellent article by Professor Katz, in his Halacha B'Mitzar, in which he analyzes the battle over Mitzitza, which took place in the first third of the 19th century. It began in Vienna, where there was some kind of a syphilis epidemic, and there was a scare that the children would be infected isn't the right word, but because they didn't know about infection, but would catch the disease from the moil or vice versa. And therefore, the rabbi of Vienna wrote to the Chatam Sofer saying, can you replace mitzitza b'peh by the application of a sponge? Okay? And remember, the Gemara simply cites mitzitza as medical advice. The moral is obligated to perform the tzitza even on Shabbat, because if you don't do it, it will endanger the life of the baby. So the Chatam Sofer advises that yes, if using the sponge will have an equal effect, why not? This tshuva, also let me remind you of the Chatam Sofer, who was never published in his collected works for obvious political reasons. And the main opponent to the Chatam Sofer on this issue at that time was Rabbi Yaakov Edlinger. So we studied this, but I'm just reminding you just to refresh your memory of Rabbi Yaakov Edlinger's erecting a defense for mitzitza. On the one hand, he says, who knows, maybe mitzitza is not just a medical procedure, but it's halacha l'moshe misinai, in which case we can't cancel it. But then he adds about this whole issue about the im tomru achar atzat harofim vativiyim nelech. Suppose you believe that mitzitza in fact has no positive medical effect, and in fact can have possible harm because of contagion. This is a handout from several years ago. I haven't handed this out. You can find it in your files. Look at what we will come to if we accept the opinions of the natural scientists and the doctors over and above the opinions of the rabbis. Sha'aluna et peihem. אם יאמרו שבהמה שחסר יותר עדה היא טריפה ואינה יכולה לחיות, וראו נה מה שכתב על זה הרשב"א בשאלות ותשובות, וזה לשונו, אם יתחזק בטעותו ויאמר לא, כי אהבתי דברים זרים, והם אשר ראו עיניהם ויחריהם אליך, נאמר אליו להוציא לעז על דברי חכמים אי אפשר, ויבטל המעיד וילך היוצא בו, ואל תבטל נקודה אחת ממה שעסקינו בו חכמי ישראל. הקדושים, הנביאים ובני הנביאים. How can you dare take the opinion of a medical doctor today over and above what Chazal said? We won't accept the opinions of the doctors against what we have as a halacha l'moshe misinai. Rak l'moshe nityaseh mipiyem al pi hateva kefi asher hikiru al ba'et ahi. But we will only take current medical opinion to be superior to the knowledge that they had in those days. That we will think that the mitzitza was the medical opinion in those days, but is no longer of a medical opinion, and therefore we eliminate al pi divrei hativriim be'eit hazot, because that's what the current medical opinion is. Od ekra aleichem sha'aluna et pi harofim v'hativriim. Ask the doctors. Im yaskimu im chachamim shekol habeimot sha'anu matrifim mishum sirchot araya en ol micholim lechiyot. All of the animals which we prohibit because of adhesions of the lung, do they really think that these animals can survive? After all, these trefot were established by our rabbis on the basis of their knowledge of nature. Okay? That if we accept medical opinion as being superior to the medical opinion of Chazal, then all of the Torah will disappear. Impossible to survive. Therefore, if you cancel a mitzitza because you believe that medically it is not a good thing to do, and take the modern medical opinion over and above the medical opinion of Chazal, the entire structure of the halacha will disintegrate. That's what he's saying. This, Professor Katz goes into a great long discussion of what actually happened and the nature of this debate and the escalation of the debate. I cited the most extreme position as stated by Rabbi Yaakov Ettinger. What's the current practice here?
I think the current practice changed within the last...
What?
Depends who does the
Mila. What is done in the Young Israel and Brooklyn?
Depends who does the Mila. Depends on the Moel, not the institution.
I think it's safe to say that the practice here is mixed.
There's a glass tube.
Sometimes a glass tube, sometimes a sponge.
Mine did have a pizza.
Okay, some did. That's why I'm saying it's mixed. But in many, many Jewish communities, it simply has passed from the scene without causing the destruction of Judaism. In the biography of the Chazon Ish, it's reported that he attended a Brit Milah in one kfar in which the Tzitzah Bepeh was actually taken, actually took place, and this is obviously something that he had not seen. And he said to the Morel, or to the Rav, local Rav, Yashakach, because there's been a big fight over Mitzitza, and in our community we've already lost that fight, and here you are restoring. So in the 1930s or 1940s already, in many Jewish communities, Mitzitza B'Peh, I'm not saying universally, but in many Jewish communities, Mitzitza B'Peh was no longer practiced. Because there is obviously no sound medical reason to do it, and good medical reason not to do it. I'm now going to quote from you from the Shaarei Tzedek Hospital guy on this issue. Okay? The question that he's dealing with is, how can you trust doctors if they say that it's fine with Hatev? Suppose you actually tell me that the urethra and the vas deferens now are joined in near the prostate gland and are no longer separate tubes. How do I know whether I should believe you or not? Okay? So he quotes, I mean, the issue is, how reliable is medical opinion. Yeshikatvu shavak im rofei echad omer she'ein sakana neged ma shechazal kavu lo somchim alav. It's only if a single doctor says that there's no sakana in not doing such a procedure or in doing something that you pay attention. You don't pay attention to him. Aval im hu davar muskam etzel kol harofim she'ein sakana. If all doctors agree that there is no danger any longer, to the patient,
Ferrari test for the admissibility of factual evidence.
Yeah, all experts agree. For example, the Gemara says that on the illness of Tzafidna is Masukan. It's a dangerous illness, and even if the doctor says that the patient is not in danger, and if the patient says he's not in danger, you're still supposed to do Mechal Shabbos thing, because Tzafidna is really a dangerous thing. Tzafidna is I guess the best interpretation is, it's a generic stomatitis, that is, infection of the mouth and the inner regions, right? If you look in the Encyclopedia Britannica under stomatitis, you will find that it really is a generic disease whose symptoms can range from anything from gingivitis, a mild gingivitis, to diphtheria. That is, there was just no diagnostic procedure, even towards the end of the 19th century, which could distinguish between something which was simply a local, harmless thing that should be attended to by your dentist, and a life-threatening disease. Of course, if you take a look in a modern medical encyclopedia, you'll have, I don't know if you even use the word stomatitis anymore, but certainly it's not a...
Not the mouth.
But it's certainly not, you know, you can now diagnose whether a patient has diphtheria or whether he has some kind of a dangerous thrush as a consequence of AIDS, or whether he has simply some bleeding gums because he hasn't been brushing his teeth regularly. So, nevertheless, of course, the Mishnah Berurah says, writing, given credit in the 19-teens or 19-20s, that if, no matter what the doctors say, if there's a case of Tzafidna, you should be Mechal Shabbos. Don't pay attention to the doctor telling you that this is not a life-threatening disease. But, so according to the Mishnah Berurah, if there's an explicit statement of a dangerous disease like Tzafidna, then no matter what the medical doctors tell you, even if all of them say that there is no danger to this, there is a danger, and therefore you should in fact be Mechal Shabbos.
To go to the doctor who you don't believe. You should be Mechal Shabbos for the case. You can cook him
some hot chicken soup, whatever you have to do to treat, whatever the treatment for this particular thing is. But this is a Chol HaShiyesh Bo Sakana, and it should be treated accordingly. All medication should be taken, any kind of pill of Shabbos should take place. But here, Rav Yashiv seems to be disagreeing with the Mishnah Berurah on this, and says that if a single isolated medical opinion contradicts Chazal, then you should disregard this medical opinion. But if all doctors agree that this situation is not dangerous, or this procedure that you're about to perform will not alleviate a danger, then you pay attention to current medical practice. Okay? Straightforward, you'd think that Rav Yashiv's position is reasonably straightforward. Let's see what Shaarei Tzedek Hospital has to say about this.
Is the doctor who's writing to you?
Doctor Steinberg. Okay? Hagron Yoshev Shem Eliashiv, Huhu Dvarav B'Sefer Shmirat HaGut V'Nefesh. You have this on page 275, if you suspect me of misreading this, of my handout. Unbelievable. U'mashi Yesh HaHekshot Al Dvarav. You can ask a kasha on this. How could possibly Rabbi Eliashiv take such a position? Masha Yeshla Hakshot Al Dvarav, if, do you have it?
Yes,
276 on the left hand side, on the column, footnote 149. Footnote 149. Masha Yeshla Hakshot Al Dvarav, you can actually, what's difficult in this position, Shiyehe Mutala Batelat Amatzitza. If you take Rabbi Yashiv's position that all medical opinion, if there's unanimous medical opinion, then it supersedes the view of Chazal, then if that's the case, it would be possible to eliminate Metzitza. Shekein kol harovim svarim hayir kayom she'ein b'mniyata mishum sakana. All medical opinion agrees, universal medical opinion agrees, that eliminating Metzitza doesn't constitute a threat to the life of the child. Ba'adarava, yitachein she'yed b'zeh sakana shal zihum. To the contrary, that Metzitza might even cause infection. So therefore, universal medical opinion today contradicts the medical opinion of the Gemara. And if that's the case, we would be left in a quandary, because we would have to conclude from this that you should eliminate the Metzitza. And since, obviously, one cannot eliminate the Metzitza, I'm just putting in the extra clause here, he's arguing from a political position, right? He's arguing from the fact he's taking as his underlying hypothesis that it's impossible to eliminate the Metzitza, yesh lomar sheshitato v'ka'otam asvarim she'ikata ha-Metzitza ela eno mishum sakana ela mitanim acherim. Look at the mental contortions that are going on here. This man is saying that obviously Metzitza cannot be eliminated. Therefore, if
you take the position that all medical opinion outweighs the opinion of Chazal, if there's universal medical opinion today that the absence of a certain procedure like mitzitza is not dangerous, you should follow medical opinion. As a consequence of that, you would conclude that mitzitza should be eliminated, but it's obviously impossible that mitzitza should be eliminated. Therefore, maybe, that you could have asked Rabbi Eliezer, maybe Rabbi Eliezer has a different source for mitzitza, but it's certainly inconceivable in advance that Rabbi Eliezer could agree to all of these left-wing rabbis who, like the Chatam Sofer, who approve of the elimination of mitzitza. I mean, is this not mind-boggling? Isn't this kind of completely distorted reasoning? The situation here is that there was a political battle over mitzitza. For a period of time, those who supported mitzitza were in the minority. There was a reversion to mitzitza of a peh because of a general swing to the right. Therefore, there was a conclusion that mitzitza must be an article of faith. Therefore, it's impossible to accept the notion that all medical opinion can outweigh medical advice in the Talmud unless you have an alternative explanation for mitzitza.
What's the date of this text?
Which text?
The one you
1995.
Just reading from that text.
This is this year. We're talking about 1995. We're talking about what the current trend is
among Orthodox doctors.
Amongst not only Orthodox doctors, but amongst the Orthodox rabbanim and everybody. I mean, this is just, in my mind, sheer insanity. I don't know how to characterize this.
Well, in Israel, isn't it? Don't they do mitzitza now more than ever?
I'm simply saying that here, you, just as we had a few minutes ago, Rabbi Badia Yosef deciding whether demons do or do not exist on the basis of tabulating the number of rabbinical positions on one side of this issue or another, none of them believe that, even the Rambam doesn't believe that demons never existed. The issue is whether they have disappeared or not because of Nishtana HaTeva. And that, according to Rabbi Badia Yosef, whether the demons have or have not disappeared has to be decided on the basis of majority rabbinical rule. And if the leading scholars maintain that the demons still exist, then we decide that it exists. Here we have an even crazier position. Because here you have something which had become a flag, a political flag, a fight between Orthodox and Reform, or between Orthodox and Modern Orthodox, or between Orthodox and left-wing Orthodox. The Chatam Sofer had no trouble with eliminating mitzitza. And as a matter of fact, in communities in Eastern Europe, as the Chazanish testifies, in many of these communities, the mitzitza that had been eliminated. Then, because of this 19th century political flag battle between Orthodoxy, as represented by Rabbi Yaakov Eppel, was resuscitated. And mitzitza has become an article of faith, and therefore people who don't perform mitzitza that's an impossible position to maintain. Therefore, you conclude from this that unless you have an alternative source for mitzitza, how can you possibly accept medical opinion as being valid against the rabbis? That's the logic of what he's saying.
Do they do what they do with big money here?
Crazy beliefs, and people who have to believe all of this.